Honolulu Civil Beat's reality check today gives us a snapshot of the eviction moratorium. Reporter Anita Hofschneider joins us this morning. Hi, Anita.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Hey, so I saw in the headlines this morning that in Texas, a federal judge ruled that the CDC eviction moratorium was unconstitutional. And then I saw that in Seattle, there was another judge who went the other way. So what does this all mean, to us here in Hawaii?
Wow. Yeah, well, I also was surprised by the news out of Texas this morning. So my understanding is that particular ruling is regarding the federal eviction moratorium. And so it's confusing because they're called the same thing. They're both eviction moratoriums, but there's a federal one and then there's a state one. And the Hawaii one is different from the CDC one. And so I don't know if there's any implication from this ruling about the federal eviction moratorium and its impact on the state. But my understanding is that renters have really been relying on the state eviction moratorium here, and that it's more expansive than what the CDC does. So the CDC one is more limited. It's limited to people under a certain income level. It's limited to people who income has been affected by the pandemic, whereas the one under the Ige administration is more sweeping. So if you are a renter and you don't pay your rent, your landlord can't evict you now, and that is no matter what your income is or whether or not it's been affected by the pandemic. And that's been frustrating for some landlords because it is pretty wide ranging.
And I know we hit the situation where, you're trying to help the landlords, but some of them weren't agreeing to participate in the rental assistance. And it's not real clear. I know some folks were thinking, oh, maybe they weren't putting that income down and are just reluctant to, be singled out like that. But yeah, so tell us about the bills then that are going through the legislature.
So there are a couple of proposals going to the legislature, and they're kind of like twin proposals for people who don't follow the legislature closely. This is very common where the same bill is introduced in the Senate and the House, and then they're each amended, and so they kind of change along the way. And at the end of the session, the lawmakers on the House and the Senate have to kind of come to an agreement where they're like, they nail down the details of the bill, and then they usually just pass, one. Or if they don't come to an agreement, then neither of them passes. And so this proposal is aimed at kind of creating like an off-ramp of sorts for the state to be able to lift the eviction moratorium without this flood of evictions. So I was talking to a attorney who represents landlords, and he said, usually every year there's 1,600 to 1,800 eviction cases filed in Honolulu. And, with the moratorium, it's been almost a year where, almost none of those could be filed. And so the sheriffs actually have, I think, executed 26, I want to say, if I'm remembering that correctly, evictions. But that's, very low compared to what would normally be done. And so the concern is that, once the moratorium is lifted, not only will there be, an increase in homelessness, but that the courts themselves would be overwhelmed. And that then if you are a landlord trying to evict a tenant, then you would have to be waiting months in order for them to your case to be even heard. And so the idea is to rely on something called mediation, where, separate from the court process, the landlord and the tenants meet with a mediator for about an hour and a half, and they try to come up with a deal. And so what this bill would do is it would require landlords to participate in mediation if the tenant requests it. And the idea is that, if you find a space for landlords to come to the table, then maybe they can reach some kind of deal, and that this would avoid the whole court process. But what critics are saying about this is that maybe this doesn't go far enough, because there is no requirement that landlords participate in good faith. It's basically just that they have to show up if they're asked to. And so, there's this sort of question is like, will they be agreeing to a deal? Or will they just, want that tenant out, in which case, the eviction will move forward.
Right, because you want something meaningful, not just a warm body, just to say, hi, Judge, I'm here.
Yeah, and that was kind of interesting, because on one hand, a landlord's attorney I interviewed was saying, they have an incentive to participate because they want their money. Although it's mediation, they might get their money, less money, or they might get their money more slowly, It's sort of unclear, because it all depends sort of on the individual case. But on the other hand, I was talking to an attorney from a national nonprofit that advocates on behalf of tenants. And he was saying that in the housing crisis in 2008, there were a lot of banks foreclosing on homeowners, and that one thing they did was require that banks participate in good faith, or some jurisdictions did this, where they require that banks participate in mediation in good faith in order to ensure that those were actually meaningful. So right now that's not in the bill, but it is a very interesting bill in terms of requiring mediation and giving also tenants a little bit more time after they receive an eviction notice before landlords can move forward with filing a summary possession.
Well, it was interesting that you reported that there are some evictions that are happening because I think maybe a lot of folks don't realize that there are eviction notices actually being handed down like that. But thanks.
Sorry.
No, but thanks so much. I really appreciate you focusing the spotlight on this. Thanks.
Thank you for having me.
That was reporter Anita Hofschneider with today's Reality Check. To read the full story, visit civilbeat.org.